This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday. Day to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3 hour zero gravity gala. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Bakersfield to Baltimore, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Are they listening, D.A.? Everything we saying, D.A., everything.
And we come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. How we doing, everybody? It's a Trash Tuesday. Da-da-da-da-da-da. What do you need to get off your chest? The holidays tend to do that to people. It's supposed to be about happiness, joy, giving thanks. And yet, we all have just a little bit of angst, a little bit of stress, a little bit of anger or frustration that builds within us deep down, way deep into our chest cavity that we just need to get out. So today, we do our weekly therapy session. It can be sports related. Your team, your coach, your program giving you agita. It could be non-sports related, but Trash Tuesday, fun for the whole family. That comes your way next hour. You can, of course, give me them on Twitter. Until then, DA on CBS is the Twitter handle, or wait until next hour when we do Trash Tuesdays at the end of that hour, a little over an hour and a half from now. That phone number is 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Coming up this morning, legendary boxer Roy Jones Jr. will join us in studio this morning. That'll be in the third hour of the program, so stick around for that. College football playoff rankings will come out tonight. Alabama or Ohio State, if there's an opening. Are the Clippers doomed again? Blake appears broken. Pagano the Clown. Honk, honk.
Hey, everybody. I'm the coach of the Colts. Want to see me blow up balloon animals?
Pagano is clearly off the reservation. The man is losing his mind. We'll play that for you coming up next hour. Jimbo Fisher to Texas A&M and Lane Kiffin trolling Tennessee. All of that is on the docket this morning. That means it's an amazing show. Again, 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. And even better, hey, I can watch this show. You can too. Go to watchda.com. Check out the simulcast going on all morning long. Watch the show on your phone, on your computer, on your smart TV at watchda.com. Let us start with last night's Monday Night Football game, where the Baltimore Ravens moved to 6-5 with a 23-16 win over the Texans. Before we get to the Ravens, let me just say this. I miss you, Deshaun Watson. Oh, I miss you. You were the only thing that made looking at Butt Chin McGee stomachable. TJ Yates, Case Keenum, Brandon Whedon.
Brandon Whedon's a bum.
On and on and on and on. Ryan Mallett. Who else? Who else am I forgetting? Ryan Fitzpatrick. What are the other trash heap quarterbacks that have paraded through Houston and Butchin McGee has convinced us that they were the next thing? They were the next big thing.
Bad Case Keenum, not good Case Keenum.
Bad Case Keenum. Never ending. And then finally we get to Deshaun Watson. You're like, oh, yeah, all right, Deshaun Watson, let's watch Texans football. And then he's injured, gone for the season. So what are we back to last night? We're back to Macho Man Tommy Savage. Oh, oh, what was that? Every time they needed a big throw, oh, turnover. Every time they needed a big play, oh, sacked. I mean, Savage has so little pocket presence. And throwing into double coverage when they need to go down the field for a game-tying touchdown, give me a break. So thanks for nothing, Bill O'Brien. Because every time you have anybody except for Deshaun Watson, it makes our eyes bleed. On the Ravens, more importantly, because the Texans are out of it, season is over, say goodnight. On to the Ravens. The Ravens are 6-5 and now squarely in the middle of the wild card race in the AFC. We know what the Ravens have been before. The Baltimore Ravens have been strong defense, great ground attack, and not afraid of anybody. They ain't scared. So they can go to Pittsburgh. They can go to New England. The Ravens have been that team that have been the bowling ball of the playoffs. Just get us in and let us make some noise. Kind of like the New York Giants of the AFC. Not scared to travel, bring a good defense, make your life a living hell on the quarterback, and we'll win some road games. And the Ravens won a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. And so the question is, Baltimore doesn't have a great offense. Joe Flacco has seemingly regressed. They were sub-500 for most of the season. And is it time we start taking them seriously? After last night, another tremendous defensive effort. Should the AFC start fearing the Ravens in the postseason? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
Three wide, shotgun snap, second and one. Here's a pass up the middle. It's intercepted up the middle. It's picked off by Levine. Runs down the middle of the 45. Stops on the hash mark on his own accord. Goes to an E. Down to the Houston 43. Savage has thrown a game-deciding interception.
Something that was just important to us after last year, the way the season kind of ended in Pittsburgh, and then you know, other games over the years where we just feel like you get a stop, you know, you win the game. And I think our defense wants the game in their hands, you know. They don't score, we win. That's kind of the mentality of those guys.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
That, of course, was John Harbaugh after the victory. And that was the great Kevin Harlan on Westwood One on the call. Look, I have lamented, I have griped about, I have been frustrated because the AFC playoffs feel so anticlimactic that it is absolutely a lead pipe lock that we're getting the Steelers and the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. And look, I hope I'm wrong, because I just want something interesting from that side of the ledger. Something interesting. But it feels like there's the Patriots, the Steelers, and then everybody else in the AFC. Don't give me the Chiefs. Oh, no, I'm not buying on them at all. The Titans, I don't believe they can go to Pittsburgh or New England and win. The Jaguars, not going to happen in the divisional round. But the Ravens. Ravens? I guess I might be trying to sell myself on somebody making things interesting in the playoffs. And I think Baltimore can at least make things interesting. Look, their offense is bad. Last night in the win, Joe Flacco threw for 141 yards. 141 yards in a win. Alex Collins is solid, but he's kind of a come-out-of-nowhere running back and not exactly the type of guy that you game plan for. From a passing standpoint, ain't nobody scared of Mike Wallace the way that they used to be. And the rest of their weapons on offense aren't exactly things that you stay up late at night worrying about. So this is going to have to be a defensive-led team that basically wins games like last night, 23-16 with turnovers, or 20-17, or 17-13. And I'll tell you this. The Ravens, at very least, have a quarterback and a coach that simply don't care who they're going to play against. They're not going to be intimidated. They've been there before. They've won a Super Bowl. So, yes, I think in a larger scope, if you're asking me, last team into the AFC playoffs, can the Ravens be interesting? Yes, because the defense is so good. Yes, because the defense wants the game in their hands. Yes, because that organization, coach, and quarterback have been there before. And yes, you know Terrell Suggs can tell those guys, hey, we've gone to New England and won in the playoffs. We've beaten Tom Brady and the Patriots in the postseason in Foxborough. We've matched up against the Steelers in the playoffs. We know these battles. We know how to do this. Follow my lead. I just hope we get somebody in the AFC wildcard round that makes things slightly interesting, because I don't want to see a bunch of games that lead to nothing because the Patriots and Steelers are so much better than everybody else. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Bill is in Michigan listening on 101.1 to CBS Sports Radio. Chomping at the bit to tell me I'm wrong. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, it's a trash Tuesday. I found myself kind of happy when I heard it, and then I remembered, hey, I got somebody I'm going to trash this week.
Okay.
It's DA.
Oh, my.
I'm trashing you. Your pick.
Yeah, what?
Pittsburgh plus four minus 14. Take them. It's in the bag. They're going to crush Green Bay. It's all over with. You cost me money, DA. I listen to you. And I'm trashing you on Trash Tuesday.
Hot trash.
I definitely thought the Steelers were going to crush the Green Bay Packers because of how bad the Packers were the week before, how bad Brett Hundley was, how bad that offense was, but it's true. I should have remembered the Steelers played down to competition. I should have remembered that they never make things easy on themselves. I should have remembered that the Steelers are still the Steelers. And while they have great players all over their offense, their defense can give up big plays, and maybe that's where I'll be wrong in the playoffs. Maybe the Steelers can get picked off in the divisional round because the back end of their defense gives up big plays. I mean, they made Brett Hundley look pretty good. That's a miracle unto itself. It's a holiday miracle. Brett Hundley looks like a real quarterback, Mom. When we come back here on the show, the Lane train rolling through Tennessee and taken out bystanders. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
It is the volcano pork shank? Yeah, volcano pork shanks.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I could use some volcano pork shanks.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Volcanic pork. When it gets cold out there, your vehicle needs some extra attention. O'Reilly Auto Parts are the parts you need to keep your vehicle in fighting shape for the cold weather ahead. From choosing the right antifreeze for your engine to replacing your windshield wiper blades, O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Glad you're with us. Remember, full episodes of the show available on iTunes. If you ever miss anything or want to hear it again, simply go to iTunes, search DA and CBS, and you'll be able to listen to entire episodes, whatever segments you want. They're easily labeled, readable, and followable. So check it out. iTunes is where the DA show resides in its entirety every single day. Okay, so here's the thing. When you listen to this show, I hope you are one of two things every single day. In fact, I hope you are two of two things every single day, because that is my goal. To make you laugh once, to make you think once. If I can do that, I feel like I've accomplished things. Because there's so much out there that does neither. And what good is that? Arguing, fighting, finger pointing, and hot taking. And so I'm just going to cut it straight to you guys, because this is what I do. I've got no ulterior motives. I've got no agenda here. Lane Kiffin's a weird dude. I just did a Lane Kiffin game on Saturday. I called it FAU Charlotte, Conference USA football game in Charlotte. FAU ends up going undefeated in conference. They will host the Conference USA championship game on Saturday in Boca against North Texas. Lane Kiffin's a weird dude. So let me do this. Let me describe exactly what I think about Lane Kiffin. I am holding in my hand two invisible spheres, okay? On the one hand, my right hand, this invisible sphere, is weird dude. Doesn't play well with others. Massive ego. Still hasn't learned some lessons from getting blown out of Oakland, USC, Alabama. I mean, look, they didn't even let him coach in the championship game. On the other hand, the invisible sphere is good football coach. FAU was 3-9 for three straight seasons before the Lane train showed up. FAU was a total afterthought nationally. FAU couldn't get out of its own way in its own league. FAU was nothing. Lane gets there. They haven't lost a league game. They have not lost a football game in Conference USA. This is most of the same team. This is most of the same players. He has one of the best running offenses in football, in college football. They've got a kid by the name of Devin Motor Singletary, who has nearly 2,000 yards rushing and 26 touchdowns, I believe. He has made that offense. I did this game on Saturday, and granted, Charlotte's no good. But they racked up more than 500 yards of offense, and they played a sloppy game. I would grade out FAU on Saturday as a C-plus, B-minus effort, and they put up more than 500 yards of offense. Lane Kiffin knows how to coach. He at least knows how to scheme. Leadership is a problem for him. He's a weird dude. And so people that want him back at Tennessee, let me just tell you, careful what you wish for. Because you think Lane has learned all of these lessons. You think Lane might be a different guy than he was there the first time around. Lane left you. You didn't leave him the first time around. And so it's like getting back with your ex who left you for a bodybuilder. Now that thing didn't work out and you want her back. Be careful what you wish for, because Knoxville, as we've seen this week, is a different beast, is a different breed. And I don't think that Lane Kiffin has the stability internally, the leadership ability to be able to get it done the way you want to get it done. Is he going to scheme you up? Absolutely. Will he give you more offense than you've had? Absolutely. Will you run into the same problems that you may have had prior because he fights with the media, he fights with the boosters, he's out in the town, he's this or that? Absolutely possible it's in play. Lane Kiffin, though, puts you on the map. He's put FAU on the map. Because he kind of doesn't give a bleep. And frankly, I think where he's at right now is kind of perfect. And I don't know if he needs to be given a bigger job with more money and more scrutiny and more pressure. Lane Kiffin's doing a hell of a job at FAU. He's making them interesting. And this is the deal with the devil. Lane Kiffin, right before we did this game on Saturday, tweeted at Conor McGregor and told Conor McGregor, hey, man, you want to play fullback for us? Which you could imagine what that might lead to. Number one, it leads to everybody talking about how Lane Kiffin is talking about Conor McGregor, which you probably couldn't even name the last three FAU coaches. Number two, you could totally see this if Conor McGregor did have some hair in his you-know-what to go sit on the sidelines at a bowl game or a Conference USA championship game in beautiful Boca with a big mink coat on the sidelines, or tweeting at Lane Kiffin, it becomes a story. And then that makes FAU cool to kids. Number two, though, yesterday, he tweets out a story from CBSSports.com, which suggested that Tennessee was thinking about Lane and that Lane may be waiting for their phone call. And Lane tweets, quote, "As Tennessee again finds itself engulfed in flames, Lane Kiffin waits by his phone. Not waiting at all. Getting this team ready to win its ninth straight against a great North Texas team. Come to the championship game here in Boca." Talking to Dennis Dodd, who wrote that story for CBSSports.com. Lane Kiffin has also made fun of Nick Saban's rat-poison comments and gotten attention at a place that never gets attention. It's getting top 25 votes. He's getting it done football-wise. He's getting it done social media-wise. This is what Lane can bring you. But I don't think that he's ready for a bigger job. I really don't. I really don't. I think this is perfect for him. And buyer beware on Lane. Because right now he's tapping into what coaches want to be. On social media, they want to matter. They want some attention. They want kids to notice them, which is exactly how Jim Harbaugh has swindled everybody into making people believe he's a great college football coach. Apparently, he's not. He can't beat any of the really good teams, but he gets really good attention. Lane Kiffin can coach football, but Lane Kiffin also comes with the, "I wouldn't really trust him running my company." And if you're Tennessee, walk away. I know this has been hard. I know this has been frustrating. I know this has been depressing and humiliating. Believe you me, if it doesn't end up being Lane Kiffin, you're better off right now. All those things that you said about Butch being a weird duck still apply to Lane. They still apply to Lane. And Lane has said he learned so much at the feet of Nick Saban, how he's a different guy right now. I'll tell you, from where I stand, I'm not quite buying it. I think he's saying good things. I think maybe there is a dollop of humility that comes with Nick Saban saying, "Get the hell out of here, dude." But at the end of the day, do I believe he's changed that much to be able to be ready right now for a big-time position? Not really. No, not really. But for FAU, oh, he's the perfect fit. He's perfect. They couldn't do any better. And he's a heavy favorite, going to win Conference USA, going to end up in a really good bowl game, and will take on a Power 5 team, I bet. I bet they'll choose a bowl game that goes up against a Power 5 team, and that's going to be a pretty tasty bowl. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, we've got sound check for you, including Terrell Suggs last night after the Ravens win, going in on former teammate Ray Lewis. And did I hear this right? A Shania Twain on a sled at the Grey Cup? I need more info on this. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Muffins, mornings, mothership.
The biggest stage possible. The biggest stage out there.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
38 minutes past the hour. DA with you. Remember, the best of the show is available on YouTube every day. We take the best clips from the simulcast and post them on YouTube. So simply go to youtube.com/CBS Sports Radio. Over the weekend, it was brought to my attention that Shania Twain performed at the Grey Cup. Now, Mraz, you and I talk about this a lot, how during the summer, if you're really, really dire for some football, even before the preseason begins, especially when it's bad preseason and none of the veterans or superstars play, there's actual football going on that matters, and the guys are competing, and it's about wins and losses, and that's the Canadian Football League. The CFL kicks off its season sometime in July.
I think it's the first Thursday night in July. I could be wrong. I play in the June.
And so we're wrapped up by now after Thanksgiving. Boom.
Well, do the math. That's 2 months ahead of when the NFL kicks off.
Uh-huh.
So now we would be towards the end of January. I think that's about right. They basically play an NFL schedule.
And I think that part of this is not to go up against the NFL's season. Part of this is not to go deep into the hockey season. I think part of this also is to not force their fans to be outside in December and January when in Canada it's real cold. Like, not us cold, it's real cold.
Break the thermometer cold.
It's like negative 12, wind chill negative 28, blizzard coming through. So I kind of like it that they start earlier, end earlier, but it doesn't mean there aren't Grey Cups where the snow's already coming down. This is just after Thanksgiving. Just after Thanksgiving. And they had a blizzard coming through the Grey Cup.
Not just after Thanksgiving for them, though.
When's their Thanksgiving?
Canadian Thanksgiving.
October something.
Yeah, it's earlier.
It's October, late October. So they've already got the snow going on. They've already got the elements. It's the Grey Cup, and they've got the big superstar performing. Was it the national anthem or a halftime performance?
Oh, halftime. Like you would see at the Super Bowl. A stage, fans on the field, theatrics. You know, Katy Perry-like coming in on a robotic tiger.
And instead of Katy Perry on a robotic tiger with Left Shark dancing, instead, it's beautiful, ageless Shania Twain. Does Shania Twain ever age?
No, she looks phenomenal. Kind of like John Madden never aged.
Yeah, but Madden started aging by the end. You know how you knew Madden was aging was because he began really big. He was really huge. He seemed like a mountain of a man sitting in that little studio or little press box or press booth with either Al Michaels or with Pat Summerall. Madden just felt like he filled the screen. As he got older, if you noticed, he started getting smaller. He started shrinking up. And that's when you knew that Madden had to kind of get out. And now when you see him, you're like, boy, that doesn't even look like Madden. It kind of looks like a junior Madden. It's like, it's not
Madden Light.
It's not actually the Whopper. It's the Whopper Junior. It's just a little bit smaller. It's got all the same pieces to it. You know, it's got the bun and the burger patty and the mayo or whatever that sauce is on the Whopper and the lettuce and tomato. But it's just a little bit smaller. All that stuff is smaller. That's when Madden does an interview. Now you go, oh, that's like a smaller Madden. So Shania Twain comes out for her halftime performance. And I guess it's not quite a blizzard, but there is snow. There is snow on the field. And there's snow coming down. And she is in this beautiful, sparkling, sequined, gorgeous red outfit and pink outfit. She's got red snow boots on that are sparkling. She's got red gloves sparkling. And she comes out on a dog sled.
You win.
Snowy conditions, sled dogs, and a Mountie escort. And here is Shania Twain coming out for the Argos and the Stampeders, eh? For the halftime presentation and celebration. And I gotta say, Shania brought the heat and was a tremendous performance yet again at halftime, coming out in a sled.
Unlike anything I've ever seen before, a dog sled, D.A., a dog sled. It also made me realize, I think I'd like a Super Bowl in the snow. Katy Perry coming out with a robotic dog sled, that's what we need.
Yeah, you know, this is so perfectly Canadian to have Shania Twain, a dog sled, the snow coming down halftime. It's kind of perfect. But I think you're right. The NFL dodged a bullet in some ways by having that Super Bowl in New York, New Jersey, and yet the conditions all week were frigid. We all froze our stones off the entire week, and then it came to game day, and it was 50 degrees. The next day, it snowed. Had it snowed, I forget who the halftime performance was.
Bruno Mars.
It was Bruno Mars.
Boy, my halftime knowledge is rough.
Yeah, that's the one thing that you deep dive on all the time. You know everybody's halftime. I would have liked to see, I think, the sled dog. I don't know. That's not quite New York-y. Maybe he could be in a snow plow with dirty sand being spat out the back.
That would work.
But I like this, too. I mean, the whole thing was so perfectly Canadian. Shania Twain is tremendous, still bringing the heat. And she's singing. She's dancing. She's on a snow dog sled. She's got sequins and sparkles. It worked, man.
Yeah, good to see Shania Twain still relevant there. I wonder if Casey and the Sunshine Band will do next year's CFL halftime.
Well, I feel like Shania is doing a little renaissance here in her career. I feel like I've seen her a few times pop up on different things. So she was big in the 90s, went kind of dark over the last 10 years, and now I think is popping back up. Bilotti, I know you're a big fan.
Oh, big fan. Yeah, she has been. It's been like the last year or so coming back around. And you know what? She's ageless, timeless. The time doesn't stop her.
She looks amazing.
She, I believe, is Canadian as well. Which
I think that's the
here.
Whole thing. Yeah, that's the bit. So Shania Twain, sled dog sequins, crushing the Grey Cup halftime. Also, by the way, Toronto with a late fumble return for a game-tying touchdown and a 27-24 win for the Argos.
In Ottawa. The nation's capital.
That's right. Very good. All right. Okay, Mraz. Feeling good about this.
That's very good, Damon.
All right, let's bring you your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Hugh Jackson looking forward to getting Josh Gordon back on the field this week.
I think the players have seen him out there, and they've seen what he can do. I think they're excited about him playing and about playing with him, so that within itself will bring something to this football team.
Josh Gordon, when he was playing, even though he was drunk, and I'm not making fun of him here, this is not a joke, he admitted he was drunk before every game or high before every game he played in, was still a game breaker. Now the fascinating part is, does he still have it? He's been away from football for a while. He hasn't played in games for a long time. He won't be drunk or high. Will he be better? Will he be worse? At the very least, it's interesting. But the Browns are going 0-for. They went 1-15 last year. They're going to win fewer games this year. They're taking the 0-for. They are not winning a football game this season. I predicted that they would get a win last year and even said it would be against the Chargers, although I was a week early because I said it was going to happen the week before. This year, I'm calling it 0-16. They ain't getting a W. Jason Witten was asked about his interest in the Tennessee coaching job.
Coach, it's something I can see myself down the road, having one of those opportunities. But right now, I'm all in with this team, and my feet are planted firmly here.
So Jason Witten was a Tennessee volunteer. He says he wants to get into coaching, and here would be a chance right off the bat to get that job. But let's be honest. You would never hire Jason Witten, ever. Jason Witten can't walk off a football field and then the next day start recruiting in the SEC. In the next day, start game planning in the SEC. Not how it works. Can Jason Witten step off a football field and maybe go coach high school? Go coach JUCO? Go coach FCS? Maybe, but even that's not fair to the coaches that dedicate their lives to things. And I realize recruiting is a big deal and name recognition and notoriety is a big deal, but it's not like the SEC is where you just break in as a first-time coach of anything. Like, let's just see how he is. He's never been a coach before. He just stopped playing. So Tennessee should never think about hiring him, and I don't think that they work because that's unrealistic. Also, though, for Jason Witten, he says, I want to stick it out. Hey, man, credit to you, because there's nothing to stick out there for. That's a season going nowhere fast after Ezekiel Elliott's suspension. Chip Kelly introduced as the new head coach at UCLA.
I had the opportunity when I was at Oregon to compete with this school and to all the schools in the Pac-12. And the fact that I get a chance to go back to the conference where I kind of learned how to be a head coach, so to speak. There's so many great coaches in this league. There's so many great institutions in this conference. To be a part of it again is really, truly special.
It's a huge win for UCLA. Again, they become relevant overnight. They become the story in the Pac-12 overnight. And I think Chip Kelly's going to bring his offense there and win big. Look at the Pac-12 right now. I mean, USC is not the monster that they once were. Clay Helton is not a guy that gets a lot of national recognition. He's not going to have the pizzazz. He's more of a meat and potatoes guy than a guy like Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly gets to slide under the radar in a major market in a huge city where UCLA football is not one of the most important things going. Lakers basketball is, Dodgers baseball, and then USC football. So he gets to slide under the radar, do what he wants to do. He'll be able to recruit that offense. He's got the Pac-12 already with the recognition and the credibility that he had at Oregon. It's a great move by Chip. It's a great move by UCLA. And, you know, when you look at the polar opposite, diametrically opposed from what Tennessee has gone through, the, oh, should we fire Butch? And, yeah, we're going to fire Butch. And eventually we'll fire Butch. And then we'll get around to the coaching search. And then we'll hire a guy that we end up not hiring and firing. And there's protests on campus. And, what do we do now? UCLA was the exact opposite. UCLA was stealth. UCLA fired Jim Mora with Chip Kelly in their back pocket. Now, Chip said he wouldn't have official negotiations with them unless the job was open. He wanted to respect whoever was a coach. And I respect that if that's really the way that it went down. But for UCLA, how stealth is this? Jim Mora gets the zig, and a few days later, Chip Kelly is in that seat. Well done. And finally, Terrell Suggs last night. After getting credit for the forced fumble and strip sack, and the Ravens win another.
I can hear Ray Lewis saying, sizzle, get the ball. I want the ball. So Ray Lewis, he probably made a tackle tonight. You know, he's always gotten credit. Y'all think I'm joking. Like, he's like, one game he didn't play and he made the stat sheet. Like, you make a tackle, he's somewhere was near, and he'd be like, yo, Ray Lewis on the solo. He'd be like, what? But, you know, shout out to my big brother, Ray.
It's kind of funny because Ray Lewis did have that type of reputation to where he was credited with tackles that he wasn't even involved in. You're like, Ray was 5 yards downfield. That's half a tackle for him. Ray was on the other side of the line. That's half a sack for Ray. And that's your sound check. Here's my question about Ray Lewis. The guy has an impeccable football reputation. One of the best of the nation while he was at the U. He comes into the league, plays for one team his entire career, leads the team to a Super Bowl championship in 2000, one of the great defenses ever. The Ravens' hallmark was defense for more than a decade. He wins another at the end of his career. They've got a statue built outside to him. From a football standpoint, known as a fiery leader, an emotional leader, doing the Ray Lewis dance. One of the greats ever. Ray Lewis clearly following in the footsteps of the Dick Butkuses, Ray Nitschke, middle linebackers forever that were seen as all-time greats. Junior Seau, Mike Singletary. And now, Ray's kind of becoming a joke. The way that Ray kind of clumsily stumbled his way through the Steve Bisciotti, Colin Kaepernick thing, Ray Lewis calling out Joe Flacco last year and then having to retract it. Ray kind of constantly saying dopey things on FS1 and ESPN. Ray on that Monday Night Countdown show had to get blown out pretty quickly. It's weird. It's almost like had Ray just gone away quietly, we would have thought of him as this incredible football warrior. But now, it just, I don't know, he's kind of a punchline. I mean, when you hear Ray Lewis weigh in, especially when he does his little Instagram videos from the car, you just roll your eyes and like, oh, God, what did Ray say already? And I could see Ray Lewis in 10 years becoming kind of like the punch-drunk old fighter that you just, like, you can't even pay attention to Ray. He's like the weird uncle. He just says weird stuff. You know, and I don't know if that's from collisions or that just always is from what his personality is. And clearly he had the murder trial back in 2000, so that's always going to hang around with him as well. But Ray resides in a really weird place in our sports landscape right now. When we come back here on the show, Jimbo Fisher, would he leave for Texas A&M? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.